Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The arts and culture scene is still recovering from the scars of the pandemic 2+ years, causing massive disruption to the industry. A live venue in Sacramento's Oak Park neighborhood is among those fighting to stay open. Cafe Colonial was originally conceived as part of the Colonial Theater built back in 1940. The current chapter of Cafe Colonial is an independent all-age sanctuary for many. But now the venue is on the verge of closing its doors permanently. Owners Gabrielle and Ben Garcia have put in everything to keep Cafe Colonial open for the Sacramento music community. Gabrielle joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
In 2018, the former owner announced that the closure of Cafe Colonial, the doors closed, but quickly Cafe Colonial experienced that shot of adrenaline. You became owners along with Ben Garcia. Take us back to that moment. What attracted you to Cafe Colonial?
We were the current owners of the Blue Lamp on Alhambra Boulevard, which was a 21 and over, music venue only. And when we saw the Cafe Colonial struggling, we thought it would be best for the community and the live music scene to kind of save an all ages venue. It starts, you know, at the young years, people bring their children, they come as teenagers, young adults, and then as old guys.
I would imagine, were there some parallels that existed with your work running Blue Lamp and Cafe Colonial?
Absolutely. Our staff came over with us. We ran both of them for about a year. And then ultimately, due to landlord decisions, vacated Blue Lamp in January of 2020, put our full focus into Cafe Colonial. And it was really starting to take off in March of 2020.
Can you explain the footprint that Cafe Colonial has to the music community in Sacramento?
I don't even think I realized how important it was until pandemic hit and being almost completely crowdfunded. And when we're in trouble, crowdfunding, it's so motivating to know that the community really supports it when it's in need. So it's extremely warms my heart to know that, you know, and gives us the energy to keep going when we know that the community really needs it and wants it.
Going back to when you took over the venue in 2019 and it opened, I mean, it was a short time the following year. Obviously, the pandemic hit and we know what happened. Can you just explain to us navigating such an unprecedented time and the obstacles that you had to endure?
I now know why grant writing is a college degree. I probably wrote maybe 300 or 400 grants with no prior knowledge or experience in that field. It gives hope. It was just a huge roller coaster of emotions of, you know, availability of funding and then getting funding, not getting funding, asking the community for help, having teenagers throw live stream events and DJs in the community and promoters in the community doing all of this thing via the internet to make sure that when it was safe to do so. We also took very, very strong precautions and waiting to open and not opening and closing and opening and closing during the pandemic. We just kind of hibernated for as long as we possibly could to just try to save what we had.
Despite there being a pandemic, you know, life doesn't stop and the challenges of life doesn't stop. What are your main obstacles now?
Well, we had some issues with the building. It's an old building and then being closed for such an extended period of time. Our pipes had collapsed when we came back and tried to reopen and just kind of going through all the struggles of reopening, not only with new protocols and expenses, but as well as just, you know, functioning of maintenance of machines that haven't ran in a couple of years. So it's definitely been a struggle. It continues to be a struggle. And, you know, we have very successful nights and very successful events. And it's hard to kind of understand how we could be struggling and being successful at the same time. But in today's climate and the, you know, we still have shows canceling. COVID is still very much a real thing. We still do not want to expose people to COVID. Bands are still canceling because they're catching COVID on tour and things of that nature, as well as the local community. We had a a festival Saturday, and the main act who put it together unfortunately couldn't play due to COVID. So it still affects us in a day-to-day and still trying to make the best decisions for the community as possible while still being open and providing a safe environment in all aspects. I think that the most important thing about the Cafe Colonial is that it's a safe space for people of all ages. Mm.
What is your concern level that Cafe Colonial might not be able to stay open in the long term?
I feel like even if it's not me and Ben, that it will continue to thrive. It is something that the community will step up and take care of, you know, whether it's under our direction or someone else's direction. It's the one thing that we would never step away without knowing that it would continue to go on.
It's big. It's bigger than you.
It is bigger than us. And it was very much, you know, we were working at Harlow's as bartenders and staff and owning the Cafe Colonial when the pandemic hit. So in a matter of days, we lost our jobs and our business, boarded up our windows, filed for unemployment. My husband was denied, you know, and within the year, we ended up getting full-time jobs and kind of coming to the conclusion that we might be more philanthropists than business owners. And in order to fund it, it might take some little extra work somewhere else.
Given that there's a GoFundMe account that has been set up to help keep the doors open under your ownership, I mean, it's raised, I believe, over $20,000 and even an additional $5,000 from private donors. What does that say to you? What does that mean to you?
It means that it's extremely important to the community. And of that $20,000, we're talking $5 from teenagers. They're spending their lunch money to keep this open. I always say, like, Cafe Colonial and the safe space that it is and what it allows the children to do, it is real life suicide prevention. This is where the kids gather. This is where they communicate. This is where they create. This is where they release their art, their music, their, you know, learning the sound production of how a stage runs, a show works, how to do booking, all of these things that really help promote culture and music in Sacramento.
It truly can be a sanctuary. You mentioned that you worked at Harlow's. Given that Harlow's, which is also a music venue, is stepping in to advocate for Cafe Colonial, I think that just says so much about Sacramento's arts and culture and music community. Can you explain what that means and how y'all are kind of bound together in really a wonderful way?
Sometimes it's really, really hard to be the little guy and people don't really take notice. So it's so important that you know, Jim at Harlow's and Julia have been extremely supportive in this process, and also understand how important it is that the more successful we all are, the more successful we all will be. And really taking us as like a little brother, sister kind of venue and, you know, and here to help and advocate for us. They have better contacts. They have a bigger voice. And it really showed the community how important we are to everyone at all levels.
Have you had any response from the city of Sacramento or the Chamber of Commerce?
I have not heard from Megan Voorhees yet. I did see on the internet that she did mention it was on her radar, but we have had very little support from, you know, the city as far as that's concerned. We did get an artist grant, I think, back in late 2020 when they did some of the funding for the community and for the artists. So. But outside of that, and right now with the Stockton redevelopment program and how actually clean and active we keep the block, you know, it might be a little bit important for the city to kind of recognize and not let something like this go to the wayside.
Explain the neighborhood that surrounds Cafe Colonial.
It's a historic neighborhood in Sacramento. It's Oak Park. It has been socially economically challenged for many years. It's currently receiving an influx, some may call gentrification, but they're building probably close to over 300 units within a block of the Cafe Colonial, some directly across the street and some directly next door. And on any given night, we're typically the only business open on the block. So it brings life and, you know, lights and energy to the block that may otherwise be dark.
Finally, Gabrielle, what other performances do you have lined up so far this summer?
We have shows, I would say, 4 to 5 nights a week. We have some everything for everyone, everything from punk rock to indie music to metal. Check out the calendar, cafecolonial916.com. We have tickets available there and a calendar up. We do Taco Tuesdays every Tuesday. Come get some tacos. They're delicious. And we appreciate everyone's support more than we could ever say.
Well, Gabrielle, thank you so much for joining us. And I wish Cafe Colonial the best.
Thank you so much, Vicki. I appreciate you.
That is Insight for today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez. Joe Barr is Cap Radio's chief content officer. And I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.